creator of the universe. Praise be to him who hath made the histories of the past an admonition unto the present. Now of such instances are the tales called A Thousand Nights and a Night, together with their far-famed legends and wonders. Therein it is related that in time long gone before, there was a king in the islands of India and China. He left only two sons, one in the prime of manhood and the other yet a youth. Both were knights and braves, albeit the elder was a doughtier horseman than the younger. So he succeeded to the empire, when he ruled the land and lorded it over his lieges with justice so exemplary that he was beloved by all the peoples of his capital and of his kingdom. His name was King Shahryar, and he made his younger brother, Shah Zaman, king of Samarkand in Barbarian land. And each ruled his own kingdom with equity and fair dealing to his subjects in extreme solace and enjoyment. And this condition endured for a score of years. But at the end of the 20th twelvemonth, the elder king yearned for a sight of his younger brother, and felt that he must look upon him once more. So he took counsel with his wazir about visiting him, but the minister, finding the project unadvisable, recommended that a letter be written and a present be sent under his charge to the younger brother with an invitation to visit the elder. Having accepted this advice, the king forthwith bade prepare handsome gifts, such as horses with saddles of gem-encrusted gold, mamelukes or white slaves, beautiful handmaids, high-breasted virgins, and splendid stuffs and costly. He then wrote a letter to Shah Zaman, expressing his warm love and great wish to see him. Then King Shahryar, having sealed the missive and given it to the wazir with the offerings aforementioned, commanded him to make all expedition in going and returning. The minister packed up his loads and prepared all his requisites without delay. This occupied him 3 days, and on the dawn of the fourth he took leave of his king and marched right away, over desert and hillway, stony waste and pleasant lea, without halting by night or by day. When he entered the city, he proceeded straightway to the palace, where he presented himself in the royal presence. And after kissing ground and praying for the king's health and happiness and for victory over all his enemies, he informed him that his brother was yearning to see him and prayed for the pleasure of a visit. He then delivered the letter, which Shah Zaman took from his hand and read. When the king had fully comprehended its import, he said, "I hear and I obey the commands of the beloved brother," adding to the wazir, "But we will not march till after the 3rd day's hospitality." On the 4th day he made ready for wayfare and got together sumptuous presents befitting his elder brother's majesty and established his chief wazir, viceroy of the land, during his absence. Then he caused his tents and camels and mules to be brought forth and encamped with their bales and loads, attendants and guards within sight of the city, in readiness to set out next morning for his brother's capital. But when the night was half spent, he bethought him that he had forgotten in his palace somewhat which he should have brought with him. So he returned privily and entered his apartments, where he found the queen, his wife, asleep on his own carpet bed, embracing with both arms a black cook of loathsome aspect and foul with kitchen grease and grime. When he saw this, the world waxed black before his sight, and he said, "If such case happen while I am yet within sight of the city, what will be the doings of this damned whore during my long absence at my brother's court?" So he drew his scimitar, and cutting the two in 4 pieces with a single blow, left them on the carpet and returned presently to his camp without letting anyone know of what had happened. Then he gave orders for immediate departure and set out at once and began his travel. But he could not help thinking over his wife's treason, and he kept ever saying to himself, "How could she do this deed by me? How could she work her own death?" Till excessive grief seized him, his colour changed to yellow, his body waxed weak, and he was threatened with a dangerous malady, such an one as bringeth men to die. So the wazir shortened his stages, and tarried long at the watering stations, and did his best.